You're listening to a podcast of the May 24th, 2017 broadcast of the Are You Crazy? Health and Wellness Wednesday program on Enlightened Radio. Broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia at www.enlightenradio.org. In this episode, Dr. Zaki McGill and host John Case discuss nutrition as from the wisdom of a mother of seven children and author Cordelia Gaffar.
Okay. Welcome. Well, yeah, Cordelia Gaffar. I'm referring to, it'll probably embarrass you, make you blush, but you know, our local fitness, health and wellness guru, you know, lecturer, author of Workout Through Your Day, Workout Around Your Day. And Cordelia, what's the website that people can go to?
Sure, it's workoutaroundmyday.com.
Okay, very good. workoutaroundmyday.com. And Cordelia, for those new listeners, because we're going to try to put this on a podcast and put it on Facebook, for our new listeners who may not be familiar with you, why don't you paint a little portrait of yourself, where you were born, where'd you grow up, and how'd you end up out here in the Eastern Panhandle and interested in health and wellness?
Absolutely, sure. So I was born in Chicago. I lived in Sturtevant, Wisconsin for a little bit, but most of my childhood was in Atlanta. And after going to University of Vermont, I ended up in the DC metropolitan area, and I've now been in this area, I guess, half my life. So 10 years ago, we moved to the Eastern Panhandle because we had three children and we were expecting a fourth, and who knew that we'd end up with six? So
yeah, I was just saying to John, is it five or seven children she's raising? So I was on either side. It's six kids.
You know, right. What you just did though is a mistake.
Is
between six and between five and seven.
Uh-huh.
That is the source of most money making in Las Vegas poker casinos.
Is that right?
Because people come in knowing how to play five card stud.
Okay.
And they know how to play seven card stud.
Okay.
But the house offers six.
Ah, interesting.
And the dealer is the only guy that's figured the odds out. Okay.
Clever, John.
Which is why it's always $20 on a slot machine, and I'm off to dinner. Okay, but right. To clarify for our listeners, though, it's we're speaking of the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia.
Right.
We're what I'm starting to call DC Annex.
It is. It really
Washington DC Annex. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how did you get into health and wellness?
Well, I have to say that I feel like I've always been part of it, but the one life-changing event that happened for me was about 22 years ago when my dad, who was in really good health at the age of like 83, had to have surgery. Now, just think about this for a minute. So when he was 72, he taught me how to play tennis. And I was 10, right? So this was like not one of those senior citizens that just was in poor health. He was, you know, a man that was really good health, and that's, you know, we ate really well and walked a lot. So to see his demise, you know, so quickly and so extremely, just from having surgery, because he was prescribed these medications to stabilize him. And in 18 months, it pretty much killed him.
And he was given medications to stabilize what condition?
So he had gallbladder surgery. Back in those days, they actually, you know, he had gallstones, so they had to remove part of the gallbladder. They don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Now they can zap him, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, but then he had to take, like, blood thinner, and then that caused some other symptoms, so he had to take something for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the combination of the prescription drugs, and that's when I became interested in like herbs, and I said, I know that there's a natural way that you should be able to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I vowed right then and there for myself that I'm going to make sure that I stay ahead mm-hmm. and I'm always healthy and I'm doing everything as naturally as possible with food or herbs or both, a combination of the two. So during the course of my life, I've now, you know, found out about also essential oils, which I started really strongly integrating probably about the time I moved to the Eastern Panhandle about 10 years ago. But, you know, it was kind of a progression from that turning point.
Yeah. Okay, so that was your wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Your dad.
My dad.
Interesting. So, because we're going to be talking about specifically depression and recommendations that you have around diet and exercise and so forth, I just want to make this disclaimer that for our listeners, that you should take whatever we discuss today as suggestions that you talk over with your health practitioner before taking on any sort of regimen. But that said, why don't you introduce to our listeners...
Well, you should make sure, shouldn't you, that the practitioner has some kind of credibility, right? I mean, because... I used to advertise myself as a board-certified, you know, sexologist for the radio. But...
Thank you, John.
You know, and I also offered pet services to those who felt they were going to be raptured.
Okay.
And leave their pets behind. But...
Okay. Did you have licensing for any of that?
No, and the contributions dwindled down to nothing finally. Okay. In my various projects there. So, but it should be.
So I'll clarify with your licensed health practitioner.
Well, even if they're they might be unlicensed and have proven to you that they've performed miracles virtually and saved lives.
Right.
I mean, as long as you're satisfied that that was not a con thing, that was actually a miracle. I mean, I don't think Jesus had a license.
Be discerning is what you're saying, John.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
Trust but verify, as President Reagan used to say.
So, after our last talk, I guess about a month or two ago, Cordelia sent me an article by Dr. Mercola on depression and diet and dietary recommendations. So what motivated you to send me this? What were you concerned about?
So a couple of things. It's actually Mental Health Awareness Month.
Ah, is it really?
It is.
Oops. Okay.
So that's the first thing. And the beginning of the month, I'm part of an international online speaking group. And so those members, many of them are in the UK, and they just have a week, and it was the first week of May. So I had to do a little bit of research, and that I happened upon that article.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the other thing that came up is, you know, when I was preparing to speak, I wanted to give a story that was relatable and not so much, you know, about the statistics of depression and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have a couple of personal stories with depression. Obviously, you know, I already disclosed that my father died. 9 months later, my mother died. Mm. And then I thought all that had been resolved once I got married a couple of years later. But lo and behold, when I had my second child, mm-hmm. after two miscarriages, it all hit me.
Okay.
So that was about... 6 years later.
Okay.
And depression is on like a 7-year cycle, you know, when it comes to grief.
Hmm.
That's one of the things I found out. I need water.
Okay.
I didn't bring my cup with me.
So I'll just, while we get you some water, underscore. So, May is Mental Health Awareness Month in the UK as well, in the UK and the United States.
In the United States, it's for the month. In the UK, it's the first week.
It's just the first week of May. Okay. Right. Now, this world, this article you sent me, which, you know, I assume people could find online. We'll announce that at the end of the hour. According to the World Health Organization, depression is now the leading cause of ill health and disability worldwide, affecting an estimated 322 million people worldwide, which immediately I wonder, well, how do they get to that statistic? I mean, there are people way out in remote areas. I guess they have some sort of formula they use, but this including more than 16 million Americans that they assess are depressed. Globally, rates of depression increased by 18% between 2005 and 2015. So in 10 years' time, it's... And according to the U.S. National Institute of Mental Health, 11% of Americans over the age of 12 are on an antidepressant medication, pharmaceutical. Among women in their 40s and 50s, one in four are on antidepressants. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, they go on to talk about, of course, the economic impact of this of $1 trillion annually. And depression is also linked to an increased risk for substance abuse, diseases such as diabetes and heart disease, as well as suicide. Okay. Depression is under-recognized and under-treated. I know that for a fact. I mean, there are even some really good studies that have shown that people of color are under-treated for depression. For some reason, when you do surveys of clinics and so forth, and you review charts, and you find the same complaints, similar complaints, that somehow the health practitioners do not see the people of color as depressed. They diagnose them with other illnesses like anxiety or schizophrenia, or you know.
But those are extreme forms of depression, but I have another take on that.
Okay.
Like culturally, right? African Americans, Latino Americans, and a lot of immigrants from like Muslim countries, mm-hmm. culturally, it's just not, you know, there's a stigma attached mm-hmm. to being depressed or, mm-hmm. you know, that. So even if they know, mm-hmm. they're not going to disclose that.
Right, right.
And for me, it wasn't a cultural thing, but I'll have to say when I first thought that I might have a problem, mm-hmm. And I asked my OB after mm-hmm. I had my second child, she prescribed Prozac, and I rejected that for two things, right? Because we already know I'm against prescription drugs. So that was the first thing. Second thing, I'm nursing.
Okay.
And the third thing is... I felt that is putting a Band-Aid on something that is a combination of spiritual and chemical reactions going on in the body, mm-hmm. and they cannot be stamped out like that or managed like that.
Okay.
So the best, you know, medicine mm-hmm. for depression, I immediately thought, why didn't she say, you know, mm-hmm. at least hook me up with the what is that called, a personal trainer, right? Mm-hmm. Because the first thing that came mm-hmm. to my mind, whenever my dad, you know, he was a lawyer, so whenever he had like a tough case mm-hmm. or something like that, he would walk like 20 miles, right? So that's the way he managed his stress, and that's what I grew up with. And to be in a doctor's office and not be prescribed exercise was strange to me.
Interesting.
And yeah. One thing I know is at that point in my life, like after I got married, like I lived in the city, right, in DC, but after I got married, we all moved to the suburbs, right? And when you move to the suburbs, what do you do a lot? You drive mm-hmm. and you walk a lot less.
True.
And that was what came to my mind immediately. I'm like, you know what? I just don't walk enough. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I started treating myself with walking.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, I've noticed the same thing when I'm traveling. When I'm traveling, I'm walking a lot. And then I get home and I'm not walking. And I almost feel a crash effect from that.
Yes.
From not walk. But it seems like you were making a distinction there between, say, mild to moderate forms of depression and very severe chronic forms of depression.
Yes.
Because as a psychiatrist, I think I'm exposed, you know, we have a skewed sample. We see the people who nothing has ever worked for, nothing, they've tried everything, or they've struggled with this for years and years, and then they just, their life collapses and they end up in a psych ward or a psychiatric hospital, and then we're picking up the pieces. So in my mind, I agree with you that depression is a spectrum, from things that could be ameliorated with diet and exercise and life change and addressing, you know, your family issues, your trauma issues, your marital issue, all those, the financial issues, all those things that really are very depressing, you know, all the way to the other end where you have people who, you know, have tried everything and still, you know, they have trouble getting out of bed, they don't want to eat, or they overeat, they have no energy, and it's sometimes depression that becomes very chronic can grade into psychotic disorders, where they actually have disorders of thinking, where they start imagining things, they become very paranoid of the people around them who are trying to take care of them, or hear voices, hallucinate, etc. So your approach to your postpartum depression was what, after you rejected the Prozac?
So I just started out with, you know, like I said, exercise. But I quickly realized that that wasn't enough because, uh-huh. you know, you have an infant and they don't allow you to sleep, right? So I realized that sleep was a problem, but the only way around the sleep issue would be to not work, right? So that mm-hmm. I can catch up my naps during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And above and beyond that, I had to re-examine my diet because, you know, I already couldn't have too much caffeine because I, you know, again, chose to nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sugar seemed to have really negative effects also on the baby, you know, on my son when I was nursing. Right.
Okay.
So a lot of people, you know, you may not be aware of it, but one, for my child, what I noticed is that the more sugar I had, like the less he slept, the more mm-hmm. diapers I had to change, like bowel movements or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a mess, literally.
Right.
So then, you know, what I had done with my first pregnancy is I had replaced caffeine with vitamin C. Because vitamin C is actually a proper stimulant, and, you know, it boosts your immune system and it does a whole host of things. So I tried to have more vitamin C. Well, the other thing vitamin C does, depending on the source, can cause eczema, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have acetic, like if you're having oranges or, you know, too much lemon, those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
then now you have a skin problem with your baby, right?
Really?
So now what they recommend is, you know, there's all these special creams. But again, I'm about healing from the inside out.
Okay.
So I had to find new sources of vitamin C. And I always liked mangoes, but who knew that mangoes have like 10 times the vitamin C of an orange? And they trump, you know, grapefruits. And
is that right?
Yes. Okay. Papaya, guava, all those.
What about kiwi?
Kiwi is awesome. Yes. Kiwi actually addresses eczema.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
so it has the vitamin C plus whatever helps eczema.
Right.
Okay. Because when I was growing up, we never saw a kiwi.
Right.
But I'm noticing here lately in the grocery stores, you can get a lot of kiwis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they become more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so vitamin C. So you use vitamin C as a stimulant rather than caffeine.
Right.
Okay.
So I replace my caffeine with the vitamin C, you know, tropical fruits as much as I could. Bananas, you can't eat a whole lot of bananas. You know, there's a lot of schools of thought on it, but the bottom line is banana is a medicine. So like when you have problems and you need to bind mm-hmm. your bowels, that's when you use bananas. All other times, leave it alone.
Yeah, in the health literature I read, it's bananas are full of sugar, and it's like if you're going to have a banana, it's a whole meal, you know, that you have, you know, periodically, but not. But you know, I mean, I remember my mom was on drugs for hypertension and so forth that lower the potassium level. So what did she do? She had a banana every day.
Right.
You know, that was the recommendations from the doctor. So again, this speaks to, you know, the importance of the nuances that you're describing, that, you know, it's like we seem to have in the West this gunshot approach. We just shoot a whole gun, you know, the gun at it,
right,
as opposed to tweaking, you know, try a little of this, try a little of that.
You know, I just want to also speak to the statistics regarding women. So you said one in four women between the ages of 40 and 50
yes,
are on antidepressants, and being depressed leads to diabetes and heart disease. Interestingly enough, those statistics are tied, because if you take the element of depression out, the average woman in her 40s will be on at least 14 prescribed medicines.
Really?
Yes. And secondly, the leading cause of death amongst women is heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is diabetes. And both are also related to dissatisfaction in their life. And one thing that women will do is, you know, in the role of being the expected care provider, right, the number one nurturer for the family, is we forget ourselves. And, you know, when you forget yourself,
mm-hmm,
like consciously choose everything and everyone above yourself,
mm-hmm,
you're not addressing your emotional needs, you're not addressing your spiritual needs, you're not addressing your physical needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the driving force behind everything else. And, you know, I have to say, with the clients that I've worked with, you know, they come to me because they want to lose weight.
Okay.
But when I work with them, I don't really get to the food first.
Okay.
I have to uncover the mindset piece first, because we can, you know, come up with a nice, pretty meal plan and exercise program,
mm-hmm,
but the issue's still the same.
Sure.
You don't have a self-care routine.
Right. If they're not invested in themselves. You know, I've had these interactions with female patients, and realizing that, you know, I've said things, you know, that probably were trite, like, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else. And of course, that's meaningless to them. They're just going to, you know, tough it on. But the idea, how do you get women, and this is true for some men too, caretakers. I've even had patients who, like adult sons, the firstborn son, who's so, the welfare of the mother and the family is primary to the neglect of themselves. So how do you get people to put themselves first with, you know, and shift the paradigm away from, oh, I'm being selfish. If I put myself first, you know, it's that paradox, you know, you got to love yourself first and then you can love others. But a lot of people don't get that.
Well, I do a couple of things, but before I get to the meat of that, I'm going to tell you, I use a lot of Eartha Kitt quotes.
Really? Love Eartha Kitt. Yeah.
So one thing she says is, the price that we pay for being ourselves is worth it.
Wow.
Or she said, right?
Uh-huh.
And another thing that, you know, women will do is they'll look to complete themselves in a marriage or, you know, any kind of relationship. And her viewpoint on that was, I love me so much, and if you want to be with me, you know, you can enjoy loving me with me. I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
So she,
you can enjoy loving me with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm thinking of the text my baby sister sent me this morning. It was a roadside one of those self-made billboards, you know, like they often have outside of churches with the separate letters. And it said, there's no context for this, but it said, women who say they are looking for a husband haven't had one yet.
Isn't that the truth? I cannot agree more. Yes.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with my brother-in-law, who's a couple years younger than me, and married my wife's sister, who's a couple years older than my wife, you know. But in any event, we were reflecting on the that marriage was at least a three-act play.
Okay.
And there could be many more, but there's before the kids.
Okay.
And then there's the kids.
Gotcha.
And then there's when the kids are gone. Well, of course, in some ways they never leave, but that's okay. But in any event, the
whole nother
subject. But again, just maybe four acts, whatever.
Right.
And then of course, there are many more, but at least those. And we were talking about it because. I think his son is contemplating engagement with a young woman down in Virginia someplace, where he's working. And he says, well, I was thinking of explaining this to him, but I changed my mind. You can't explain it. that if I try to tell him, I know, it looks like, just a completely romantic whatever thing at the moment, and then if I try to tell him that, after... three or four kids, the division of labor begins to change, and that shapes many things, right?
The division of labor is almost immediate after the first kid, actually.
That's right. Anyway, so we were talking about that, and I think he had a profound point there.
I agree. I remember as a young 20-something arguing with an older person, and they turned to their spouse and said, the spouse turned to them and said, honey, would you stop arguing with him? You're arguing with the voice of inexperience. And I was insulted, but I've thought about that, many years later, wow, were they right? I was just so certain of what I was certain of without any experience.
We always know until we know.
Yeah. Isn't that what the Buddhists say? You don't know what you want till you have it.
I don't know what the Buddhists
say. Yeah, the Buddhists say that.
Right.
They do. You don't know what you want till you have it. And let's get back to this, because I want to cover, how you engage people to take in a self-care process, and then cover some of these non-drug solutions for depression.
Sure.
Before we end.
That is actually, the Buddhist quote is timely, because the main way that I do that is I'll do challenges. So, for example, this week we're having a gratitude challenge. I have my stress-free sisterhood, and then I invite people to come in to it for these different challenges. And so the gratitude challenge, right, on the face of it seems like, how is that even related to weight loss or anything? But it's totally related, because it's all about your mindset.
Okay.
So each day is a different theme. So the first day was reflection. And when you talk about reflection, it's your choice and live in each moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that will get you to put the brakes on and, decide when it's lunchtime and you have prepared lunch and you made sure that your kids had that going to school. Mm-hmm. And you may have even packed your lunch, but there's this project going on at work and mm-hmm. you're going to get to your lunch in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the time to reflect and say, will I be more productive if I just take 5 minutes to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Or will I be more productive if I put it off? Mm-hmm. How am I feeling right now? What's going on? Am I jittery? Is my stomach rumbling? Can I think clearly?
Mm-hmm.
Am I hydrated? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that enforces the self-care. The second day is presence. Okay, same situation, and now you're behind schedule, let's say, with this project, mm-hmm. and you are in the same situation. Mm-hmm. Should I take the 5 minutes to eat mm-hmm. or not?
Mm-hmm.
So 5 minutes, if you're already late,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get the time back.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Take the 5 minutes.
Right.
It will definitely... who knows? You may be propelled to finish it faster,
mm-hmm.
But be present in that moment and do what's right for you first.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, same concept. Today, day three is about wisdom. So now, these 2 days, you've practiced reflection and presence. What does that, what have you learned about yourself? Because we all have inner wisdom, but we ignore it. Your body sends alerts all the time. Your mind sends alerts all the time, but you ignore it, right? Tomorrow is awareness. So now you've gone through these 3 steps. What are you aware of? How do you view your day? Same situation, you know? And then on Friday, the last day is about fulfillment. And so you've done all these things. Don't you feel more fulfilled now that you used your 5 minutes wisely?
So go through the five again. You start with reflection. Okay.
Presence.
Okay.
Inner wisdom. Awareness. Fulfillment.
Gotcha.
So this is a free challenge. So people feel, you know, and I have on my website, there's...
Say your website again.
Workoutaroundmyday.com.
Okay.
There's actually a selection or a menu item called free challenges.
Okay.
And on the top is the gratitude challenge. And you can still join today. There's some pre... There's about 5 emails leading up to it. So you kind of learn those exercises of feeling into your body, healing movements, and, you know, changing the way you think and those kind of things, and listening to yourself. So that those are they're like 5 emails leading up to reflection and all that. But anyway, so this is just a technique for people to experience what it's like to work with me and experience what it's like to take their self-care to the underlying level, right? Because most often when I meet people and I say, oh, you know, it's all about the self-care, and they'll immediately say something like, oh yeah, you know, I have to go get my mani and my pedi, or, oh, I don't have time, or I don't have money for a massage. And I'll say, well, you don't need to spend any time or any money on those kind of things. Self-care can just be taking a deep breath sometimes, you know? And it doesn't make sense to people. They're like, how is that self-care? But if you go through, you know, the 5-day challenge, and you process, you actually experience what it's like to do these things, then you're like, oh, you know. And so that's incorporated in, you know, my bigger program. Obviously, this is a snapshot.
gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, he, in the article by Dr. Mercola, is he one of your gurus?
Yes.
He is.
So, okay. I've been following him probably a good 15 years, yeah.
It's Mercola, Dr. Mercola. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. And it just is happenstance. Things happen, you know, this synchronicity in the universe. You know, I read this article, and then, you know, my trainer recommended that I get, you know, put magnesium back in my diet, because I've been telling her how I've been dragging and waking up feeling tired and so forth. So I go online, and I find that Dr. Mercola has a magnesium that adds threonine in with it, which I Googled, and I found out, yeah, that helps with the absorption and makes it much more bioavailable. So I said, oh, okay, this is Dr. Dirk Mercola. So he has these non-drug solutions for depression. I'm going to read over them quickly and then have you comment. Vitamin D, sun exposure. Omega-3 fat. Folate, B9, vitamin B9, and other B vitamins, antioxidant-rich foods, St. John's wort, SAMe, S-adenosylmethionine. I see that in Costco all the time. Both St. John's wort and S-A-M little e, SAMe. 5-hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP, and then a Chinese herb called Jingpi Zizhu. I'm not quite sure. They also call it TCM. And then, of course, prebiotics, probiotics, evaluate your salt intake, and then make sure your cholesterol levels aren't too low for optimal mental health, sleep, of course, excess EMF, electromagnetic field exposure from electron, you know, computers and smartphones. Spending time outdoors. I've certainly talked about the European studies that talk about people who spend at least a few times in a park during the week have lower levels of depression. And then, of course, decreasing stress as a way to relieve depression. So where do you want to start? Where do you which are your like top five? You know, I think we have about 20 minutes.
Okay,
so
sure.
Maybe for our audience, the top five that you would focus on in terms of you know, dietary, physical hygiene to relieve depression.
So I would say number one, I always encourage people to go out into nature and to ground themselves. So that's the vitamin D and getting exposure to nature all in one. Grounding yourself is just a practice of having your actual palms and feet, the bottom of the soles of your feet touching the earth. And this, you know, has been proven to, you know, it's a way to absorb the natural things from the environment on one level, but on another level, it's just a way to neutralize the charges in our body, mm-hmm. because we don't often do that.
You know, this may sound a little hokey to some of our listeners, yes. but I've actually done a little reading on this, that we are, our body is essentially an energy field. I mean, you can measure the energy that's radiating off of it, and, you know, all kinds of forms of energy, and that there is actually some basis for, you know, going out and just laying on the grass or walking around in your garden in your bare feet. Or I remember when I first moved to Florida, I would have Wednesdays off because I worked a 10-hour day. So I had weekends and Wednesdays. And I said I didn't feel right unless I got some dirt under my fingernails at least once a week.
Yeah.
You know? So I you know, I get where you're coming from.
It's a very normal and natural thing. And here's another guru for you who talks about this a lot, is Dr. Axe, A-X-E.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is kind of woo-woo, right? But you're getting your vitamin D, and you'll get a lot of other minerals if you're actually touching clean ground. You know, if you don't have a yard that is chemically treated, that is.
Right.
Number two, I can't drive home enough that our sources of protein are not great. I always recommend nuts and seeds, because they're a great source of good fats, right? That is, okay. That addresses your cholesterol issue.
Okay.
It gives you your vitamin B's, right?
Okay.
Some even have omega-3s. What comes to mind for me is like my hemp seeds. I love hemp seeds.
Okay.
And chia seeds. They have your omega-3s.
Hemp and chia.
Yeah. Hemp even has, I think, omega-6 as well.
Okay. Yeah, because he makes a point to avoid grains.
Right.
So when I remembered reading that, and I wanted to ask you about that. What's with the grains thing?
Okay.
Because you know some folks are into this paleo diet, which I think includes grains and nuts, right. And so forth. So what is it about grains that he's concerned about?
So the grains that we have access to, I think in the article he's more talking about like white, what do you call it? Like the bleach flour or the white rice and those kind of things. If you follow him and read some of his stuff, he's not against grains, right? Because he'll recommend other rices.
Okay.
So like brown rice is fine.
Okay. Right? Brown rice is fine.
I don't know about
what
him,
but is oats? Oats is a grain, right?
Oats is a grain. It depends on the processing, right? So I think we talked about the steel cut oats.
The steel cut oats,
yeah,
right.
So steel cut oats are better.
But he would say avoid oatmeal, because, you know, I've heard some people take oatmeal because they said it actually will help lower their cholesterol, mm-hmm. and so forth, and it's a good...
I don't know that he would say that to avoid oatmeal. He would probably be okay with steel cut
oats. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, that's fine. And
but wheat is something he would say
but wheat,
avoid.
Yeah,
okay.
Because of the processing of wheat these days, it's just really hard to come by the clean stuff. Okay. I mean, there's some companies that are trying to do better. I just found the other day Arnold has a new type of bread that is supposed to have omega threes in it, and it has sunflower seeds and flax seeds. I'm trying it out.
Okay.
I know, like in my house, some people cannot eat bread, so or they can't eat certain breads. But so far, we haven't had any issues. So gotcha. As you know, my six kids and my family were all like a laboratory for me. So far,
is your family gluten-free?
No, we're not.
No, you're not.
Just, you know, like some people, they're carb sensitive. Like I told you, my big son, you know, when I was nursing him, I noticed he had a sensitivity to sugar. I have like one other kid that is, you know, they can't do too much pasta kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So I kind of balance it out because I think it's good to have exposure to all foods, because when you don't give exposure to all foods, then that causes food sensitivities and allergies,
right?
So I kind of
it's like the
rotate
the pediatrician just came out with this thing about stop being so sterile with your babies and your infants and your toddlers, because they need to be exposed to some germs.
Yeah.
So they don't grow up and then they're hyper allergic, you know, have anaphylactic reactions to normal things. Yeah.
So just to keep it balanced, you know, I am not crazy about milk. I firmly believe that milk is also a medicine. Like you only use it for certain things.
Gotcha.
But every once in a while I'll buy like regular bed for you. Probably is just created from pus milk, right? Not the organic whatever special milk.
Okay.
I do that sometimes because, you know, they're not going to grow up and live in a bubble.
Gotcha.
So, okay. But getting back to your top five, so outside time to make sure that they're out in nature, getting their vitamin D, touching the ground with their naked feet and hands. Number two, seeds and nuts.
Okay.
Definitely good source of fat and all those kind of things. Number three, better sources of vitamin C.
Okay.
The reason for that is that's kind of related to my limiting the caffeine. Because the more natural energy you have stored, the less likely you will be to reach for the stuff that, you know, like what I call drugs, right? So you're not going to reach for the sugar. You're not going to reach for the caffeine if you already have this abundance of energy in your diet.
Now, I'm really attached to caffeine, like espresso. I make a lot of espresso. I don't put any sugar in it, but I do my espressos. But I also alternate with teas because I understand tea is powerful antioxidant, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Right.
So are you okay with teas? And I just came back from China where I sat through these tea lectures, and lo and behold, I didn't realize that black tea has less caffeine than the paler teas. The more pale the tea, the more caffeine in it. That was counterintuitive. I thought if it was black tea, it was strong, you know, and it had more punch to it.
Right.
How do you feel about tea?
So I'm fine with tea, and in full disclosure, I drink espresso too.
Okay.
But there's a formula for that for me, you know, and I tell all my clients this, you nourish your body first. Right?
Okay,
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
You want to give your body the nourishment it needs.
Yeah, the caffeine is not the first thing on your stomach
that's
in the morning.
Right.
Right, I get that.
And then I'll have my shot of espresso after that. And, and I only put like just a small bit of coconut oil in it, and that's it.
Oh, why the coconut oil?
Because I like the flavor.
Because I put that in my golden milk, the coconut
do you?
Oil.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the turmeric, almond.
We talked about that last
almond
time.
Almond milk.
Yeah.
Ground black pepper.
And
the coconut oil.
Right.
And I'll put a tiny drop of oil of peppermint. Because it helps with my reflux, indigestion, and heartburn.
Right.
And I mix all that together. But anyway, okay, so you put a little coconut oil in your espresso for what purpose?
I like the flavor.
You just like the flavor.
Yeah,
okay.
And also, you know, it helps me with my frothy, my, you know, I kind of like the frothy coffee drinks.
Okay.
But to wean myself off of that, I replaced it.
Gotcha.
With this. And it, I gotcha. And it okay. works perfectly for
okay.
me.
Okay. So we're up to the other sources of vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And then
after that, for your vitamin Bs, I think that they're really addressed with the nuts, as long as you're having walnuts in, which are really good and powerful, and pistachios.
Okay.
But you also want to make sure that you're having your dark green leafy vegetables, because
so walnuts and pistachios. What happened to this craze about almonds? You know, having five almonds every day.
I mean, first of all, I'm not like a fad, you know, superfood person.
Okay.
Second of all, almonds, it's kind of like milk, right? They're also a medicine. So you have almonds, you have to offset it with dates, because of the, I know, like, there's a school of thought that says if you're going to have nuts, you need to soak them or whatever. There's another way around that.
Okay.
So in my book, I actually have a whole section on the proper nuts to have with the dried fruit.
Okay.
And one of the combinations is almonds
And dates,
because it balances your sugar level. It's like the perfect premium snack for the mid-afternoon sugar crash. So there, you can have your five almonds and your three dates. Okay, there it is, Zachy. So yeah, but the dark green leafy vegetables, great for calcium. It'll help you with the absorption of the Bs. It'll help you with balancing your serotonin levels. And ultimately, if you do these combination of just the four things that I've talked about, you'll sleep better.
Okay. Now, with dark green vegetables, my Chinese medicine doctor recently said to me, I need to have more steamed vegetables. He said that my gut and my liver were not happy, and I needed more steamed vegetables. So for 2 weeks, I really got into a lot of bok choy and steaming, and I came back, and he said, oh, yeah, I noticed. I didn't even mention it. He said, oh, your liver and your gut are so... What's your position on vegetable? Can you, you know, because sometimes I'm in a rush. I'll just throw the kale into a blender and make myself with some almond milk or coconut water and just make myself a green drink. You know, I know that spinach needs to be cooked in or at least steamed to release the iron.
Right.
But like kale or collards or the other dark green vegetables, can you eat them raw or do you really need them steamed or...
So for the cruciferous vegetables, like what you're mentioning, that family, it's better to steam them because you'll get a lot more nutritional value out of them.
Okay.
But you can have them raw. It's harder to digest, especially the kale.
Okay.
And you may not get the benefits unless you're going to be juicing them, right? So if you want to juice your kale, right, or your spinach, it'll be better if that's the, you know, to have it raw in that way.
Okay.
I have.
Yeah, that's how I do it. I mean, okay. I blend it till, I mean, okay. it's just a liquid. Okay. They're liquefied.
Okay.
So that works just as well as steaming them for releasing the minerals and.
Yeah, but you're a man, so that's cool. But I want to just offer a word of caution for women, because with this family of vegetables, the cruciferous, specifically if you have too much, especially like kale, that's one of the causes of the thyroid issues that women get.
And what's in that family besides kale?
So we have kale, we have spinach, we have mustard greens.
we have a dog howling in the back.
There's a puppy next door.
Okay. Oh, and he's howling. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So for our listeners, if you heard that, there's not a werewolf in the room. We have a puppy howling outside the studio. Okay.
Right. And like rapi and dandelion is in that family.
Okay.
There's really a lot. A great source to find out a lot more about nutrition is whfoods.org. It's Whole Health Foods is what it stands for.
Okay.
And he's like a chef.
Okay.
A world chef. But then he's created like all these different recipes. Nice. Yeah, so that's another good source.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, you just be cautious with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I've been eating healthy all my life. I always have kale this and kale that. I'm like, and do you have a thyroid problem? Yeah, how'd you know?
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for my friend Paul in California who hates kale, he's a gourmet cook, but he says, I can never get kale to taste anything like but like cooked cardboard.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
You don't like it either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. I only eat it because
I like collard greens if they're cooked. I like collard greens and spinach, but I don't know why. It doesn't work. Kale doesn't work for me.
It does, you know, but there are other forms of kale. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes at the farmer's market here in Shepherdstown, you can get the purple, the Russian purple kale that has that you could eat like a salad green.
Yeah,
it's so
really nice.
Tender.
Yeah.
You know, so that amazed me that that's actually a kale because I thought kale had to be wrinkled. And,
how about this? A Russian kale combined with a pawpaw and make it an ice cream.
I'm not
I don't know
sure.
About that.
I just was. Okay.
I'm not sure.
You're funny. But you know, I also want to say, speaking to the greens, but there, I have like a 3-minute greens recipe that I think
really?
I have a video. Oh, but it's in one of my courses. Yeah,
it's not on your website.
It's not actually.
And but they can access your listeners can access your book on your website. Correct.
They can.
Okay.
Yes. So.
workoutaroundmyday.com.
Okay. That's it, yeah. And so then I guess number five, I agree with the probiotics.
Okay.
I always recommend that people eat the yogurt or any kind of fermented foods.
I saw that in the article.
Yeah.
Now, what are fermented foods?
Right. So every culture has some sort of fermented food, right? You may be familiar with sauerkraut.
Yes.
Right?
I am.
And then there is... what else? We have natto in Japanese culture. He mentions that it's basically just like fermented soy, tofu or something.
Okay.
Then there is something
kimchi?
Called kinkei. Oh, right. Kinkei. There's kimchi. No, there's kinkei. That's Ghanaian.
Okay.
Right? So it's
kinkei.
Like cornmeal.
What about kimchi? Is that?
And then kimchi.
Okay.
Right?
Korean,
which is Korean.
Right.
And then there is the like Indian yogurt.
What about the worm in the bottle of some tequila bottles?
Okay, that's a source of protein, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know that. But
and I imagine some minerals as well.
Well, unfortunately, earthworm. Though, John, it's in so much alcohol that the sugar content outweighs the protein content.
There you go. There you go.
Of course, by the time you get to the bottle of a bottle of tequila, you're probably insensate, you know, no longer paying any attention to the consequences of your acts. But,
you know, we're coming to the end, Cordelia. I really hope we can schedule another hour next month to dig a little deeper even.
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, there was one part of this article that just jumped out at me, and I don't know why he included it in it, but it was really why do so many veterinarians commit suicide? Their suicide rate is like twice that of doctors and dentists and six times the general population. And it goes to, but you know, when he's reviewing that, what it speaks to me is the life stressors. Like these vets need to be talking to somebody, need to be getting support, you know, like a support network.
Do you ever listen to Baxter Black's,
no.
Live, you know, cow attack broadcast that he does. You know, he's a live veterinarian. He's a comedian, and he has a ranch in Texas. And
maybe
also,
we could get him to call in. And
well, he does
about.
He does all kinds of routines that are. He used to be on NPR.
Oh, really?
Pretty often, but he's he was an actual veterinarian, but he had a great sense of humor. Maybe that's what's lacking in some veterinarians.
That's probably what saved his life, though, right?
No, that's what saved his life. No, I mean these. He, you know, it seems like the problems of veterinarians just cover all what we all undergo. Mm-hmm. They spend as much money as medical students to be trained, so they're straddled with that debt. They get paid a fraction of what medical doctors do.
Okay,
a lot of people come to them and think their services should be free because they should love animals. And then they're having to make all these life and death decisions that are heart-wrenching, and they have to interface with people who should not own animals, you know, who are just
the injustice,
you know, yeah. Almost like pediatricians that have to see parents that shouldn't have their kids. But there's an option. If there's, you know, abject abuse, a pediatrician can call the authorities.
That's
can call
point.
Call so a social worker to intervene. A vet, what does he do? He, you know, if he calls the pound and says these people are abusing their dog, they're gonna say, well, at least the dog's got a home, because I experienced this, hearing a dog in my neighborhood howl through the winter. And I called in, and the guy said, well, does he have a shelter? I said, yeah, he's got a little igloo out there, but it's been like 20 degrees for the past several days.
Right.
Well, you know, that's providing adequate shelter. But anyway, at any rate, that really jumped at me. The poor veterinarians are like, I have to give mine a hug the next time I see him, because they're really under a lot of stress. And it's financial. It's interpersonal.
Right.
It's all those things. Any closing comments you want to make about diet and depression?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, if you are a caregiver of any kind, but in particular if you're a woman, don't neglect yourself. Make choices that support you first. Do not choose sugar. Always, if you're going to go for something sweet, get a mango.
Okay, gotcha.
That way, that'll take care of you nutritionally, and it'll give you energy. If it's all just too much, walk around the block. If it's raining and you don't like rain, then walk up and down the stairs. But get out and experience nature, and put your cell phone down.
I think I'm going to have you and your family and your all seven kids over to look at our caboose, play in our caboose in the backyard, and have a
six kids.
Well, yeah, including my husband, you know.
There you go,
the seventh child.
No, would be a great show. We get them all in here and get their takes on this.
Oh, that's I think that would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be a great. We want to do youth programming, by the way.
Okay.
Okay, and we're looking for also lots of folks that want to learn how to do radio. And, internet radio is a process where if you know your community and you're communicating with them, and one of the nice things about internet radio is that you can always figure out who's listening, okay? It takes a little bit of work, but unlike terrestrial radio where you never know, okay,
right.
Ever. People drive through town, listen to you for 5 minutes, you know, until you're out of range, but... We want to get, having young people to get involved, they're not usually as intimidated by the technology and running the board, so we can...
That'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
And get some technical skills. And
So I'm going to get you to create a podcast.
I'm doing
it
right now.
I just want to say to my listeners that, if you like this podcast, please comment. If there are things you don't like about it, please comment. If there are other things you want to hear about, please comment. And please go to workoutaroundmyday.com.
That's it.
Cordelia Gaffar, thank you so much for coming.
And if you are a person active in any part of the health field or nutrition or any part of it, you know, get a hold of Saki and tell him he needs help here on the building out the to a million listeners. That's where we're headed. Okay.
Okay.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Cordelia. You know, I always love hearing you talk about this. You know, I'm not sure about some of the foods, but. But my wife has been training me for a long time to try to eat better, and she's adopted many strategies. Some of them have made some progress, not all.
Yeah, husbands are a work in progress.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to a podcast of the May 24th, 2017 broadcast. Of the Are You Crazy Health and Wellness Wednesday program on Enlightened Radio. broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia, at www.enlightenradio.org. In this episode, Dr. Zaki McGill and host John Case discuss nutrition as from the wisdom of a mother of seven children and author Cordelia Gaffar.